the book of Acts, chapter 4, and beginning in verse 32. Luke records for us, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." As all of you know that attend and work and worship here regularly, we have been talking about the idea of service and trying to improve our service in the year 2017. We have talked about a number of different topics already this year. We started off by saying, what is the right attitude that we need to have in order to be a servant of God? We talked about what it takes to become a servant of God. We talked about the importance of worship as being part of our service unto God. And as part of all that, we also decided that each month we would look at a different person from the Bible, from the Holy Scriptures, that would give us good examples of people who were servants in the past for God, people that God put forward for us in order that we might learn from their example. We looked at Moses back in the month of January, and we talked about how that Moses, in every part of his life, represented the true attitude of someone who wanted to serve God. We talked about Paul last month, and we said that in the life of Paul, we could see how that God selected him specifically so that he might go and be a chosen vessel, a chosen instrument, a servant that he could use in order to take the gospel to the Gentile world. In looking at all of those, I want us to embark upon another study this evening of another example that God has provided for us. An example of one who we don't have quite as much information about as we did of Moses or Paul, because of both of those two particular gentlemen, we have quite a bit of information. And yet, as we study through the life of this particular servant this evening, I think you will see that he has many great traits, many characteristics and qualities that we could learn from and that we could try to emulate in our lives in order that we might be better servants. This particular servant is introduced to us here in the book of Acts chapter 4. His name was Joseph. He was from the island of Cyprus. He was a Jew. He was a Levite. And yet, this particular servant, this particular man, had one particular quality. He had many great qualities, and we'll talk about a lot of them as we go through. But he had one specific quality that stood out. This one specific characteristic or trait was so great that the apostles renamed him. Instead of calling him Joseph, they called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Other translations say it means son of consolation or son of exhortation. Barnabas. You know, when people have a certain quality or characteristic that represents their life so much, it's not unusual really to be called the son of whatever that characteristic is. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, if you recall, when Paul there was describing those men who were doing wicked works and they were following the prince of the air, he calls them the sons of disobedience. Their lives were of such a nature that everything that they did was in opposition to God, and so they were called sons of disobedience. But Barnabas, his quality, his trait, that everyone, when they met him, seemed to understand that this was part of his nature, they said he was the son of encouragement. You know, encouragement is a characteristic or a quality that is sorely needed in every congregation of God's people today. I want to stress that to you again. It is a characteristic that is required, that is sorely needed in every congregation of God's people today. If you were to go around and ask God's people, Christians, what every congregation needs, what is it that our congregation needs? You might have some that would speak up and say, well, what we need is we need to make sure that we're teaching the truth and that we have the truth on our side. And you know what? That's absolutely right. That's correct. You might have others that say, well, what we really need is we really need good Bible classes and we need good teachers of our Bible classes so that we can all increase in our knowledge. And you know what? That's right. We absolutely do. You might have others that might say, well, what we need is to have good elders and good deacons. We need to be scripturally aligned such that we're fulfilling every portion of what God wants us to do. And you know what? I agree. I think we do. Matter of fact, I don't think we stress that part of it enough in a lot of congregations, that it's needed everywhere. You might even have others that say, well, we need to really focus on our worship, make sure it's done decently and in order and in a way that we can all gain from it. And again, you could get no argument. But one characteristic that I want us to talk about this evening that I think all of us would agree is that we all need encouragement. And we all need people who are in congregations who are devoted to encouraging others. Every local congregation desperately needs men and women who serve as encouragers. When local congregations lack these people, often it's not too long before they shut the doors because they lack the encouragement from one another to keep going. I think it's obvious when you look at the book of Acts and you look at all the examples that we are given of the first century Christians that they provided and they received encouragement from one another. Look again. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Don't you think that spirit that they had one with another was encouraging to each other? That they realized that if they needed anything, that their brethren were there for them. That had to be an unbelievable sense of encouragement from one another. They had that in the first century. Ready to help at any time. Finding strength, finding encouragement. And yet even with this attitude amongst all of them, the scriptures point out to us that Barnabas was the son of encouragement. That's interesting. There was something about Barnabas, there was something about his life that made him even more so an encouragement to others. You know, sometimes when we start to look at these Bible characters, people like Moses and Paul and Barnabas, we start thinking, well, they had some supernatural ability, something that was greater than their own, something that was greater than what normal people would have. And so therefore they could serve in that capacity. Well, the apostles did have certain miraculous gifts. But a lot of the stuff that we look at and a lot of the stuff that we learn from people who are listed in the Bible, they were not these Christians because they had supernatural ability, but rather because they put forth super effort. You see, Barnabas was a Christian. Barnabas was a servant. But do you realize that Barnabas was not one of those that was selected in Acts chapter 6 as one of those that would serve the congregation? Do you realize he wasn't one of the 12 chosen apostles? And yet, that didn't deter him. He wasn't listed that we know of as one of the elders. And yet, he didn't allow that to stop him from serving. You see, what he had, he was not a supernatural or he wasn't a superhero. Rather, he was just someone that had an extraordinary appetite to serve others. It should tell us something. We should take comfort and consolation already in the fact that he didn't have to be a chosen deacon or a chosen apostle to find a way in which he could stand out and serve others. That should help us to understand that if we're not one of those that are leading prominently, from the standpoint of being an elder or a deacon or being one of those who leads in song or Bible classes or whatever the case, such that it's of a prominent public role, you can still be, and you still must be, a critical part of this congregation. Every single one of us. I'd take the time, but I'm not going to. I could pick out every one of you and say everyone's name and say, you can be an encourager. And it's because you can. It just takes effort. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another every day. Our congregation always needs people who are ready to encourage others. People who will serve by encouragement. Telling others to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. So how? How is it that we can become better encouragers? How is it that we can become more like Barnabas? Well, let's look at just a couple of traits in his life and see how that pretty much all people who are good encouragers have these same kind of traits. The very first thing that we should remember about Barnabas is that he was an encourager because he first led by example. He was someone who lived his life as an example of strong character and integrity. Over in the book of Acts chapter 11, in the 11th chapter, we are here told about by Luke some of the conversions that are happening. You see, this is just after the time in which Cornelius, the first Gentile convert, was taught the gospel by Peter. And during this particular time, most of those who were going out and preaching the gospel, as they were being spread around the world, they're teaching primarily to Jews. But there were a few Jews who were from the island of Cyprus and other places there who spoke Greek that went out and spoke to those who were in Antioch who were Greeks. And they believed. And then the report came to the church at Jerusalem. And it says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Why did they send Barnabas? When the church at Jerusalem heard that there were those that were believing, Greeks, that were believing in the name of Jesus, why did they choose to send Barnabas? Luke says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. I want you to think for just a minute and consider, and I think you will agree, that we cannot be, I cannot be, a person who can encourage other Christians if first, I am not a good man. One who has character and integrity. Would you be encouraged by someone who doesn't do what he says he's going to do? Who says one thing but does another? Over in Acts chapter 4, when we're first introduced to Barnabas there, it talks of his generosity. It talks of how when he heard of the need that was there in the city of Jerusalem, he went out and sold a piece of land, and he brought the proceeds from that selling it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it says that other people were doing it, so what's the big deal? But do you remember right after it says that he went and did that, it also tells us in Acts chapter 5 that there were those that were selling their land and bringing it to the apostles, but their character and their integrity were not what it should be. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? They kept back a portion of it, but they were trying to pretend like they were giving everything. You see, Barnabas was a guy that had strong integrity, good morals. He was living a good life, and people knew it. When a man or a woman has character and integrity, that means that they're the same person on the inside, the heart, the mind, as they are on the outside with their actions, their deeds, their words. They walk the walk, talk the talk. They do it when they're by themselves or when other people are watching. We need more encouragers who are ready to set the right kind of example first, because setting the right kind of an example is already an encouragement to others. But not only leading by example in their own personal life, but also leading by example by being involved. You see, Barnabas was involved. He knew what was happening there in the city of Jerusalem. That's why he went out and he sold his land. He knew the need. He could see the need because he was already involved with what was going on. He was a great encourager because he was involved, and not only did he know the need, but then he was ready to help implement a solution. See, just knowing the need didn't help. Being ready to be part of the solution, now that helped. We've already talked about in the last few weeks how important worship is to us and how important it should be in our lives and how that we ought to come ready and prepared to worship God, and that our attendance only doesn't mean anything if we're not actually engaged. But at the same token, attendance is something, because if you're not here, then you can't worship correctly. And if you're not here, you can't be a good encouragement to others. We all know and could list many people that we've known in the past that were people that were going to be there. And they might not feel good. They might be struggling with health problems. They might be struggling with it because of their age or because of other reasons. But we knew that they were going to be there. And if they weren't there, something was bad wrong. And their mere presence was an encouragement to all of us. They were involved. They were involved in the worship, and therefore they were an encouragement to us. But they were not only involved, and Barnabas was not only involved in the congregation, but he was also involved in evangelism. Remember, when the congregation, when the church at Jerusalem heard about those Greeks in Antioch that had been converted, they sent Barnabas to them, and he taught. And many more believed. He was involved in evangelism. Over in the book of Acts chapter 13, when it talks about the congregation there in Antioch, and it talks about all the prophets and the teachers that were there, and it starts to list them. And then it says that the Holy Spirit pulled out two men, selected two men for a special service, Saul and Barnabas, to go and to teach the gospel. Now let me ask you, do you remember it saying there in Acts chapter 13 and somewhere around verse 2, 3, 4, 5, anywhere in that, do you remember it saying that Barnabas said, yeah, this ain't my thing? Nope. You don't read it. Or if you do read that, you wrote it in there because it wasn't in there. He was ready. He was willing to go. And so he and Saul, who became Paul, went on their first missionary journey. And then later on, as we'll talk about here in just a second, Barnabas took John Mark with him. And they went preaching the gospel to the area of Cyprus again. He was ready and willing. Barnabas is someone who you might call a balanced Christian. He was a man of character and integrity. He was working on his own self. He was a man that was involved with the local congregation. He knew what the needs were and he helped find resolutions, solutions to those needs. And then he also was ready and willing to go out and to teach others. That's well balanced, isn't it? Looking to himself, looking to the needs of other Christians, looking to the needs of those outside. That's balanced. Because of that, he was a great encouragement to those people around him. We need more men and women who are ready to uphold their character, to live the right kind of life, and then be ready to be involved in the local congregation, and then also be ready to go out and to teach others. When we have people like that, they're already an encouragement. They encourage others to do the same thing. So encouragers first lead by example, as Barnabas did. But second, have you ever noticed that all encouragers are positive people? They're all happy people, as it were, right? We've been studying how to be happy, what happiness really is. And we've correlated a lot of it to being positive people, not negative, optimistic, not pessimistic. Barnabas was a man who didn't have a negative attitude. When we look at Acts chapter 4, we see him going out and generously meeting the needs of others. We don't see him complaining about having to sell his land and giving the money away. Right? We don't read of that. In Acts chapter 11, when they said, we're going to send Barnabas up to Antioch, we don't hear it and don't see it saying, well, why are you sending me? Can't you send somebody else? In Acts chapter 15, when he and Paul are sent down to Jerusalem to talk to the elders there and to the apostles there about the idea of circumcision and how it relates to the Gentiles, you don't see him saying, no, not me. Send the other guy, send Niger, one of those other guys. I think that we could safely say that Barnabas was a guy who had a can-do attitude. And what I mean by can-do is that, yeah, whatever you ask me, I can do it. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to try. He was positive in everything that he did. And because of that, it would appear that most people were naturally drawn to him. And therefore, they were encouraged by him. A son of encouragement. You know, the old saying, by the way, have you ever noticed that they are called old sayings because they're true sayings? Because if they weren't true, they wouldn't stick around. So therefore, an old saying is typically a true saying. The old saying that you can get more flies with honey than you can with vinegar? Well, the idea there is that also you get more people around you and are willing to be around you if you're a positive person than if you're a negative person. You can't encourage a lot of people if you're negative because most people don't want to be around you. We must be positive people to be encouragers. We must have a positive outlook when it comes to meeting various challenges in our lives. Again, Barnabas didn't complain because there wasn't enough money. He found a solution, he went out and did it. Optimism. Have you ever noticed how optimism leads to action? If you're optimistic, if you're positive, then you want to go and do things to help. Whereas what does negativity often do? You sit around and you complain. And you grumble how bad things are and how bad things could be. That doesn't encourage anybody. It doesn't encourage anybody. We need to be people who are positive, saying there is a solution, and the solution is to lean on the Lord and to do what He says, and then go do what He says. That's the solution. Optimism allows us to do that. Encouraging people will find that optimism and go and act upon it. Encouraging people Lead others to success. He believed, Barnabas believed in the success of the local church. I believe that. And he was committed to it. Over in the book of Acts chapter 9, I was going to use this later, but we'll use it now. In Acts chapter 9, after the account of where Saul was converted, remember he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was told to go on into Damascus, and then Ananias came and taught him and told him what he needed to do, and Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins. After he was baptized, it says there in verse 23, when many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, that is to kill Paul, Saul. Why? Because he had been going out and he had been teaching about Jesus. So this became known to Saul, so they let him down outside the wall, and he went to Jerusalem. And it says in verse 26, and when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. Now this Saul, this man who had been a persecutor of the church, well-known persecutor of the church, but now he'd been converted, and now he was trying to attach himself to the church there in Jerusalem, and nobody wanted any part of him. And yet there was one man who thought the best of him. There was one man who thought that there could be success with this man. You know who it was? Barnabas. Because it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas believed in the success of others. And so therefore he was a great encouragement to Saul, to Paul. By the way, have you ever noticed that if you think you're going to fail, you probably will? One of those self-fulfilling prophecies. You know, if you've ever coached kids at all, which is a great thing for working on patience, by the way, and if you've ever coached kids at all, how many of them you get out there, I can't do that, I can't do that. It's like, you haven't even tried yet. You know, they'll never be able to do it. You know why? Because they don't think they can do it. Don't fail before you ever try. When it comes to serving God, don't fail before you ever try. Try. Optimism leads to action. Pessimism leads to inaction. Pessimism leads to failure because you don't think you can do it anyways. Encouraging people are not that way. Barnabas was not that way. Finally, encouraging people are people persons. People, persons. Most of you are probably going, boy, I finally got out of that one then, right? Because I am not a people person. Because when we think of people persons, and I'm going to mess that up before too long, it's too many P's. But when we think of people persons, we think of people who are extroverts, outgoing, gregarious type people, right? The life of the party, those kinds of people. The people who always have that little funny something to say right at the right time. The people who always know the right thing to say at the right time. That's the people person. No, that's not a people person the way I'm describing it. You don't have to be like that. And it's a good thing. I'm not like that. I am when I preach probably a little bit more, but I'm not naturally. In order to be a people person, you only have to do one thing. The old movie, the one thing that you need. The one thing that you need to be a people person is to love people. That's it. That makes you one. Why did Barnabas go and help Saul? Because he loved people. Do you realize that that same Barnabas went in Acts chapter 11 and found Saul when he was in Tarsus and brought him back to Antioch so that he could help with the work? Wonder why he did that. I think because he loved people. And he loved Saul. And he thought that he could help. People persons are simply people who love other people who love their souls. Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. Paul there says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. What he's saying is love people and do what you can to help. That's what encouraging people do. They're people persons because they love other people. You know what else? They're also people that you can talk to. They're approachable. You ever had one of those teachers? Sorry. You ever had one of those teachers that when you were in their class, you just did not want to go ask them a question? Because of the way that they acted? You didn't want to go ask them. I had a few of those in college because you were afraid that you went and asked them a question about what they were. You're afraid they're stupid. You don't know what that means. No, I don't. Right? No, I don't have a clue. That's why I'm asking. They were unapproachable. And yet there were some that you felt like you could go and ask them anything, even if it wasn't their class. Right? Especially in college. I can't understand guy down there, but can you tell me how to do this? And you felt like they'd help you. They were approachable. We cannot be encouraging Christians if we're not approachable. And you say, well, how can I be approachable? Well, it might be easier to tell you how you can be inapproachable. I don't know if that's a word or not, but that's what I'm going to use. If you are someone who is always arrogant, self-willed, impatient, stubborn, proudful, that's someone you can't approach. Because of that same very reason. You're afraid that if you go to them, I'm having a problem with this. Can you help me? You're having a problem with that. That's not going to help anybody. So we must be people who have great patience. We must be gentle. We must be kind. We must be meek. Brethren, if any of you are overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In other words, be approachable. Someone that they can talk to. And you know what? It's encouraging to others if we think the best of them. In Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas have already gone on their first missionary journey. They've come back and they've gone to Jerusalem. They've had the Jerusalem council, as it were, about circumcision. They've come back now to Antioch. And Paul says, hey, let's go. And let's go back through and let's visit the churches that we went through before and see how they're doing and encourage them. Barnabas thinks this is a good idea. But Barnabas, it says in verse 37 of Acts chapter 15, wanted to take with them John called Mark. Now, if you recall, in the first missionary journey, they took John called Mark. But he left them. Right? They were going on their journey, and he decided to turn back. Now they're going on their second one. And Barnabas, by the way, he was a cousin of John Mark, wants to take him with him again. And he makes plans to take him. But it says, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. They separated. Because Barnabas said, we ought to take John Mark. Paul says, I don't think we should take him. Now, I don't know how much further the disagreement went, other than it says it was so sharp that they couldn't come to an agreement. They just said, we'll go this way, you go that way. And they did. But what I do know is the rest of the story. The rest of the story is that because Barnabas thought the best of John Mark, that John Mark became an encouragement to a lot of other people. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark," by the way, this Mark is John Mark, "get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." Barnabas encouraged John Mark by thinking the best of it. And therefore, it became something that encouraged John Mark, and then he became an encouragement to others, including Paul, who didn't want to take it. People persons, loving people, being approachable, and thinking the best of others. I am very bad about sometimes making quick judgments, aren't we all, though? In this society of ours, we make quick judgments about people before we really know all the information. And we'll already have the answer, boom, before we ever even get all the necessary information to us. And we'll think the worst of people rather than say, well, hang on, wait a minute, get it all in, and then try to think the best of them first. We need to be encouraging to others by making sure that we think the best of them first. We all can be encouragers. Each and every single one of us can learn to be more like the son of encouragement, Barnabas. And we do that first by being good examples. Leading with our own lives first. By being involved in the local congregation. Know what's going on with everyone. Being ready to help, right? Not just knowing it, but then being ready to help be part of the solution. Being a part of the evangelistic efforts. Be a good example. Being encouragers by being positive people. Thinking positively. Not already negative and failing already before you start. And then also by just being people persons. Loving other people. Being approachable. Thinking the best of others. The good thing that I can say as I close the lesson is that I think we have a lot of encouragers in our congregation. I really do. And what's even better is I still can say that each and every one of us can improve. We all can be better encouragers. And the more we encourage one another, the more we can grow with one another. I hope and pray that you've gotten something out of the lesson this evening. If there are those here this evening that have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no reason why you cannot do that. God has made every preparation for us. God has sent His only Son to die for us. And because of His death, He has paid that penalty for sin that we have. But because of His resurrection, we can have the hope of eternal life. We simply need to repent of our sins, turning away from them and turning toward Him, confessing His name before men so that they know that we're following Him, and then be ready to be baptized into the body of Christ so that we can receive that blood, so that we can receive that forgiveness that comes from His sacrifice, and then rise up to walk in newness of life. If you've never done that, why don't you decide to follow Jesus? If you have done that and there's something in your life that needs correction and we can help you, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.